Our next presenter is Derek, a.k.a. Joseph Cataldi. His co-authors are Eric Irvin and Greg Ivanilo, and he's going to be talking about the effects of biosolids on tall fescue sod production and soil properties.
Thank you. So I'm Derek Cataldi. Good morning. Today I'm going to be talking about the effects of biosolids on tall fescue sod production and soil properties. This project was in collaboration with the University of Wisconsin, and our funding was provided by the USDA Special Crops Research Initiative. I'm going to start off by talking about some relevance and objective of the project. We'll get into experiment design. We'll look at some results that we found from the first 2 years, and then end with a summary and any questions you may have. So how are the sod and wastewater treatment industries related? Well, essentially, the amount of biosolids produced every year is increasing, and the amount of land available for application is diminishing because of phosphorus accumulation and housing construction. This is a concern because land application is the most economical way to dispose of biosolids. Sod producers usually have large amounts of lands near metropolitan areas, close to biosolids producers, and we know that they remove a thin top layer of soil with each harvest, which may help to counteract the phosphorus accumulation that can be seen with repeat biosolids applications. And also using biosolids as a fertilizer source can help for them to reduce input costs. The objective of this study was to compare the effects of biosolids treatments to synthetic fertilizer sod production. We looked at sod establishment and quality, sod tensile strength, weed and disease pressures, soil removal at harvest, and also some soil phosphorus accumulation. We have seven treatments in a randomized complete block design with four replications. We use two biosolids products with three treatments each, a half X, 1X, and 1.5X agronomic nitrogen rate that was used to produce tall fescue sod. We also have one synthetic fertilizer control also at the 1X agronomic nitrogen rate. And our plots are farm scale size. Farm scale size meaning they're huge. They're 35 feet wide by 200 feet long. Our research area covers just over 6 acres. Our research location is in Remington, Virginia, just north of Culpeper, Virginia. And we've been working very close with Woodward Turf Farms to get this project studied. As I mentioned before, we used two biosolids products. The first was a anaerobically digested, dewatered cake material from the Alexandria Sanitation Authority. It's a Class A exceptional quality material. The second product we use uses that same cake material, but it's been further blended with wood fines. Our cake biosolids is about 5% nitrogen by weight, 30% solids. Our blended biosolids is 1.5% nitrogen by weight and 65 to 70% solids. Both products have a pH of around 8. Again, we did use three rates of biosolids per product. We have a half-X, 1X, and 1.5X agronomic nitrogen rate. Our 1X agronomic nitrogen rate is at 195 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. With the cake biosolids, we applied anywhere from 15 to 44 wet megagrams per hectare. With our blended biosolids, we applied anywhere from 16 to 50 wet megagrams per hectare. It's just giving you an idea of the amount of product that we are working with. Our synthetic fertilizer treatment was essentially a three-application program, an application at seeding late October and then again in late April to supply 195 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare over the growing season. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about the application process. One of the reasons we used such large plots was to see if there was an issue with distribution uniformity with the biosolids application equipment. Here we have a picture of the cake biosolids 1X rate. Now you see we got pretty good uniformity over the plot, and this was really a concern with sod producers that were worried about streaking in the field using these products. Now I'm going to talk about some establishment data. I'm going to refer to them as year one and year two. Year one starts in fall of 2009, goes into the summer of 2010. Year two starts in fall of 2010 into the summer of 2011. Our seed mixture used was an 85% Kentucky bluegrass, 85% tall fescue, 15% Kentucky bluegrass. In year one, the biosolids were applied and incorporated in mid-August and seeded in late August. The second year, the biosolids were applied and incorporated in early September and seeded into late September. We tracked establishment using digital image analysis. We used a light box to give us a controlled environment. We took bi-monthly photos, three random locations per plot. The random locations were then fixed through the duration of the establishment period. And we were able to use SigmaScan software with a macro designed to look at turfgrass cover to analyze our images. Here we have establishment rates from year one and two from October through November. As we can see, the establishment rates were very similar across all the treatments. If we look at our 1X cake or 1X blended compared to our synthetic fertilizer control, we saw no differences amongst those treatments, which is telling us that the biosolids was able to mineralize during the fall and provide enough nutrients for adequate turfgrass growth and establishment. But we wanted to see if that would continue throughout the growing season. So to look at that, we used our turfgrass quality at our 10-month harvest. Quality was rated on a 1 to 9 scale, with 6 being acceptable and 9 being excellent quality turf. As we see here, really what we saw was there were only two treatments that were able to provide enough nutrients throughout the growing season to produce excellent quality sod, and that was our synthetic fertilizer control treatment and our 1.5 X cake biosolids treatment. All the other treatments, even though they may have received an acceptable quality rating, had density issues, and the sod producer would not have been able to harvest the sod at this time. We'll take a look at our broadleaf and grassy weed pressure. We did see some weed pressure within the plots, but again, there was no difference amongst our treatments. Some notable species that we saw were chickweed, henbit, annual bluegrass, shepherd's purse, and Italian rye. We also saw some Rhizoctonia brown patch pressure. In both years, the pressure occurred in early June, but again, there was no difference in the differences amongst the treatments. Here's a look at some of the damage that was caused by the brown patch. It was mainly cosmetic. It did not warrant any fungicide application, but most of the plots had grown out of the damage by the time of harvest. Now we're going to get into some of our harvest data. This data was taken 10 months after planting. We're going to look at some sod tensile strength, some mineral soil removal, and some phosphorus accumulation. For our sod tensile strength, we harvested three pieces of sod from each plot, placed them on our sod stretcher, and calculated our tensile strength. It's been reported in the past that a minimum tensile strength of 215 newtons is needed to handle harvested sod easily. As you can see here in year one, we came nowhere close to that minimum tensile strength across any of our treatments. This was really attributed to a poor growing season that we had. If we look at our second year tensile strength data, we see dramatically different tensile strengths. What we saw here was a nitrogen response. As we applied more nitrogen, we saw a slight increase in our tensile strength. And like I mentioned before, really the only difference between years one and two was the amount of rainfall, whereas not very much an accumulation difference. In year two, the rainfall was evenly spread throughout the growing season. In year one, we'd go 4 to 6 weeks of having a drought period, which really hindered turf growth. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about some previous soil removal research. Soil removal is reported as mineral soil loss. So you have a harvested piece of sod from a known area. You remove the plant material, ash the soil, and then weigh the mineral soil fraction that is left. In 1978, it was estimated that between 61 and 105 megagrams per hectare per harvest was removed at a normal harvest depth of 1.25 centimeters. Now, in 96, they found similar removal rates. With our study, we removed about 189 megagrams of per hectare per harvest. We had to harvest at a deeper depth, at a 2.5 centimeter depth, mainly because of tensile strength issues. If we could harvest at a normal depth, we would expect to see similar removal rates as previous studies have shown. I'm going to talk a little bit about our Malic 1 extractable soil phosphorus that was taken after harvest at a 10 centimeter depth. We started with initial soil phosphorus levels at around 12 milligrams per kilogram. This is before any biosolids were applied. If we look at our cake treatments, we see minimal phosphorus accumulation for both the years of this study. We're really attributing this to the fact that the biosolids product was harvested with sod along with the phosphorus, so we didn't see an accumulation in the production field. Now, we did see a slight accumulation with our blended products. We're attributing this to the fact that the blended product is a finer particle size material, more so than our cake material. And even though both products were incorporated into the same to the same depth, the blended product gets more evenly distributed throughout the soil. So at sod harvest, less product is removed and more phosphorus stays with the soil. In conclusion, using a biosolids-based sod production system can produce sod that's comparable to conventional practices, but there may be the need for some small nitrogen fertilization supplement. Also, with a longer growing season, we did produce in a 10-month cycle, or with a netting used in the field, an acceptable tensile strength could be reached. And also, we saw phosphorus accumulation is counteracted by sod harvest, so the repeat application of biosolids in sod production fields is possible. Thank you for your time. Are there any questions? Yes. Okay.
Did you see any of that with your application?
As far as in Rhode Island, do you know what? Oh, excuse me. So the question was, did we see any issues with odors with our application of our biosolids? In Rhode Island, do you know if you use a Class A or Class B material?
It's all Class A material.
Okay, so you're using a Class A material. Okay. Well, essentially, there's different processes to produce either a Class A or a Class B material, and we use an anaerobically digested material, which it is fairly odorous, but it's nothing more than maybe a 2-3 day old porta-john that's gone a little sour. So the odor is you're able to manage with it, but if there are housing developments nearby, they applicators are constantly getting calls when they make applications of this product. So odor is, yes, still an issue. I see who came up first here. You in the back there.
Yeah, you said you had to harvest deeper to get the tensile strength. Was that true across all treatments, including your sort of normal fertilizer program?
So the question was that we had to harvest at a deeper depth, and he wants to know if that was true across all of our treatments. Yes, it was. The fact that we harvested the same depth just to keep the data uniform. We, as noted in the quality with our synthetic fertilizer control and our 1.5x cake, we did have adequate tensile strength that we could harvest at a normal depth, but it was still tender because it was a 10-month growing cycle. Usually the sod producer would use a netting if he was producing in less than a year. Without netting, he's looking at a production cycle between 16 and 18 months, and then he would have no problems harvesting at that depth. But yes, it was a tensile strength issue, the reason why we harvested at that depth. Yes, you may. We incorporated the biosolids to a 4-centimeter depth. Basically, it was disked in and then blecovated to create the final seed surface just rototilled in to create a final seed surface, a seed to soil surface. Oh, sorry, I didn't repeat the question there. Behind her. The question was it the same fertility treatments as the first year into the second year? Yes, we reapply biosolids the second year at the same agronomic nitrogen rates. And basically this was to see if we can continually apply biosolids at an agronomic nitrogen rate without accumulating the phosphorus over time. Right now the regulations in Virginia only allow us between every third year you can apply to agronomic nitrogen rate. The two other years you have to apply at a phosphorus-based rate.
Is there any issue about taking all that phosphorus
You know, we didn't look at that aspect in this study, but most times it's going to disturbed urban lands, which may or may not have the topsoil placed back on it. So it may, in fact, help the health of the soil going to wherever it may have been gone. It may be transported to.
Thanks, Derek. That's all we have time for. Thank you.